Haynes Johnson is with us here on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell, you were talking about press as not cheerleader. Please continue.
Well, Paula came upstairs in September 2001, around the 11th, and said, you need to turn on television. So I turned on television in time to see the second plane plow into the World Trade Center. And we watched about 15 minutes of that, and I told her to turn it off, because we weren't going to know anything. What you get is this, you know, the adrenaline gets up and right. The networks start babbling and making, you know, they're filling airtime.
Right.
You know,
sure.
and they're speculating, and there's nothing to be known. But I also have not since that date watched a network news broadcast. And the reason is the kinds of things we were talking about. You could see it coming. That the, you know, that they were going to lapse into this cheerleader mindset, that same thing that Congress did, that skepticism went out the window. Everybody, even if they knew better, and the Patriot Act comes to mind, and you say a lot about that, a lot of important things about that, even if they knew better, they were afraid, particularly the Democrats, they were afraid to say so in public. And the people were. I can't tell you how many meetings I sat in, and people said, well, I can't say that now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was there and very strong. Again, that's not a new phenomenon. And I think in some ways it's understandable in a moment of crisis, like Pearl Harbor or 9/11, the shock that you see that you're attacked, innocent people are slaughtered and all these. So you naturally rally behind the leader of the country. Only one person is elected by all the people. That's the President of the United States.
Or appointed.
Or appointed. And you look, yes, or appointed as in case in this case. But so that I understand that, but it's always the danger that you can then exploit that climate. And Bush did that. After those early days, his approval rating reached the highest levels ever of any president since they've taken polls since the 1930s, when Gallup invented this monster public opinion polling.
Monster.
And it was Bush, from that point on, he just rose and used. And then, of course, the country was with him when we went into Afghanistan. I think we said, well, yes, we're going to fight terrorism. We're going to get Osama bin Laden. You never hear about Osama bin Laden today.
Only from him.
whatever happened, you know, you hear about him, but he's dropped off the radar. Well, and now you hear, and then it's Iraq, and then the rationale that they're really the font of terrorism. Well, they are now. And we've created more terrorists, and we are less secure at home and abroad, which is the tragedy of our times. And we're now more fearful.
We did it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a failure across the board of our political process, of our media, and of the public itself, not to say, wait a minute, hey, this can't be. Now you're hearing that counter voice. Wait a minute. And now Bush's popularity has dropped in those same ignoble polls.
But the effects of that have not gone away.
This goes to the point of your book. You know, I'm sitting listening to you, and I think that's what this book is about, because it wasn't just Bush. It was what you have led me to understand is the McCarthy wing of the Republican Party that never went away.
Yeah.
The words are the same words. I was struck as much as anything that the rhetoric is the same rhetoric.
You talk about McCarthy as Mr. Republican in his era before he crashed and burned, and then the McCarthy era of the Republican Party. And as Bill says, you make it very clear that never went away. That has been very powerful and just was waiting to come back and then did.
There's a straight line between Joe McCarthy and today, right now, 2005. And you can see that in all of the. And as you say, I was startled. I thought I knew the elements of McCarthy for a lot of reasons, the story and so forth, and who he was, what happened, the dangers and the fears and the hatred to people that were defamed and so forth. But the idea of the same kind of phrases and techniques were used repeatedly. You're weak on communism, you're weak on terrorism. You give aid and comfort to the enemy. You're a part of the liberal conspiracy. The press is contaminated with liberals. The politicians in Washington are all part of some subversive conspiracy. Therefore, if they dare challenge those of us who are in power, they aren't good Americans. You're a bad American. You're an atheist. You're godless. You don't have the right values. The right. All of these things, that's not what the United States was supposed to be. And they have used those same phrases in a way that I didn't fully appreciate till I got into this book. And they kept the same phrases Joe McCarthy used in the 1950s was used against John Kerry in his campaign.
The same words.
Yeah, same. He was accused, Kerry, of giving aid and comfort to the enemy. You're going to make America less secure. You're not even a good American. Even your heroic medals are a fraud, and your attack for your service in the war. I mean, so that...
Well, if you'll take on Eisenhower, if you'll take on Marshall,
yes,
two of the great heroes of the Second World War, which was probably one of the most unambiguous wars this country has ever engaged in, attack them for being soft on communists and allowing the Chinese to take over China, all the rhetoric around that.
Somehow they were weaklings.
Then, you know, what chance...
They were soft on communism.
What chance does Kerry have?
Well, no, that's right. But I don't want to leave Mr. Kerry or the Democrats off the hook.
Oh, no.
Because I think the role of leadership and political, not only the press, is to stand up and speak and defend yourself and speak back. Not... infamously, not demagogically, but to attack false information leveled against you. They didn't do that. The Democrats haven't. They've been so spooked by the McCarthy era. One reason, and it goes back to your question, Paul, about what happened. The Republican Party, as you know, during the McCarthy period, was far more progressive than the Republican Party today. There was a terrific split. Half of the Republican Party then was what today would be very progressive, mainstream, sort of even today's liberal. I mean... when McCarthy was finally censured by his colleagues in the Senate, the vote was split right down the middle. 22 Republicans voted to censure Joe McCarthy, but 22 didn't. And those were the right wing of the time. And they actually inherited the party to the day. They're all gone. And now you have almost lockstep, with a few exceptions. And that's a huge change in our politics.
The moderates in the Republican Party just fell away.
They don't, and if they exist at all, there are a few left today. But at that point, it was a very strong element of the Republican. And Dwight Eisenhower, I'm sorry, I'm babbling on here, but I thought I came to Washington in 1957. Well, that's a long time ago. The first trip I made with the president was with Dwight Eisenhower. I was just a kid reporter, and I was hot shot. I thought I was terrific and all this.
Well,
ego.
And your daddy had a Pulitzer Prize in the family.
Well, that's right. And I had a hard look. I thought Eisenhower was a doddering old bumbling. He looks terrific to me now. I feel sad about Ike, because Ike's instincts were admirable, decent, the best noble instincts in the country, and he despised Joe McCarthy. He despised the right-wingers in his party. And I have now had a whole new view of Ike as president. If you read the diaries that Eisenhower was dictating in the White House to Ann Whitman, his secretary, and letters to his brother Milton, who was his greatest advisor, and whom he regarded with more respect than anybody alive, and he talked about how he despised Joe McCarthy, this and that, and he even said, if these right-wingers continue to attack me and my policies, I'm going to leave the Republican Party and form a new party in the middle of America. And I thought, yeah, right, I wish you had.
But he didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
He also told us about the military-industrial complex and didn't do anything about it.
That's right. And the scientific and technological elite, those are great things. But he then held back. This is the tragedy of Ike, because with all of his... Milton Eisenhower said, after his brother died, Ike did not hate people, but he loathed Joe McCarthy more than he loathed any human being. And his brother had urged him again and again to attack publicly McCarthy for the damage he was doing to the United States, to its citizens, and its standing in the world, and all the things we stood for. He wouldn't do that because he said, I won't get down the gutter with that guy. And so in the end, he'll self-destruct. Well, he did, but it took 3 more years of terrible damage.
And 60 years later, we're still dealing with it.
Yes,
this
exactly.
is Haynes Johnson, our guest on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell will continue as we return in a moment. Please do be with us.